You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. So anybody liked that one scene a lot in Mission Impossible 4 where Tom Cruise is hanging off the side of the building, you know, in Dubai, and it's like, oh, my stomach, oh, God, oh, a little too much vertigo. Well, the Aeronauts is for you.
This is the movie for you, man.
If anything, you know, if standing on a ladder makes you feel queasy, you should avoid this movie. you're gonna hurl all over the audience.
I love heights, and I could barely take this movie sometimes. I was like, oh my God, she's like dangling.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of dangling.
There's a lot of dangling.
Stay inside the damn basket.
So this is a semi-autobiographical adventure movie, which is to say, yes, a guy did go up in a hot air balloon
inspired
and broke a record.
No, it said inspired. And I remember leaning over to Frank. It's like, okay, it didn't say based on a true story. It said inspired. And that means it's bullshit.
A guy did break a record. And there was a female balloonist at one time. And other than that, not really based closely on the fact. You know,
this whole podcast is inspired by a true story.
I mean, it's odd that they chose to put this movie out actually at Oscar time, despite this is, I think we all agree, is a perfectly fine, very enjoyable film.
Well, I love this film,
But it just doesn't scream Oscar time.
No. I think it's Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones. It's like back together again. It's like, hey, remember how good they were in that other movie? Here they are in a totally different
kind of
movie.
They're
still being good. What was the movie they were in? Chemistry.
They were in the Stephen Hawking documentary.
Theory of Everything.
Not documentary, but biopic that they both got nominated for.
So he won.
Director Tom Harper, who's better known for his television work like on Peaky Blinders and War and Peace, helmed this thing and thought, I guess, well, let's get these two lovebirds back together.
Let's get these two crazy kids back together.
And, man, I can't even...
It is kind of like a Hepburn Tracy or
Hepburn
Bogart kind of thing. It's the African Queen, only they're going up.
That is actually a Katharine Hepburn movie that she made later in her career called I can't remember what it was called, but it was about she plays this crotchety old woman who goes into a hot air balloon with two precocious little children.
Huh.
And it's very magical. It's called Ollie Ollie Oxenfree.
Okay.
Yeah, later
it's
Hepburn.
Not the hot air balloon queen.
No. Could have been.
But this also stars Himesh Patel, who's actually had a pretty successful year himself, who went appearing in the surprise theater hit Yesterday, which made more money than I would have expected, quite frankly.
Where is that this award season?
It's not going to be present at this award season. Yeah.
At least we're not dealing with fucking Rocket Man.
I mean, it's a just fine feel-good movie that's not great, but like, you know, it's a movie you take your mom to and you're not
offended.
You
just described the Aeronauts.
No, but I think this is a lot better than that.
Plus, I think so, too.
I can't say Tom Courtney without thinking Yola Tango, so I'm just like, I'm not
going to
sing it.
I love Tom Courtney.
He's very, very old now, and the film is like basically lets him lie down through most of it, which is good. But the idea here, it's 1862 in London. I always want to say Felicia Day, but it's Felicity Jones.
Felicity Huffman
is like when we first meet her, she's traveling in a carriage and she has this panic attack, and we start seeing images of her up in a balloon and someone falling from the balloon and storms and chaos, and she starts hyperventilating and you're like, okay, what's going on here? We realize that as this movie goes back and forth in time from a hot air balloon flight where she and a scientist played by Eddie Redmayne are going up on this big, very much ballyhooed balloon-hooed.
They're going to break the world's record for highest air balloon flight.
Right. And I mean, it literally, it's a big event. There's fireworks. There's like crowds everywhere. She comes in like, you know, doing somersaults and has like a trick dog.
There's a dog.
Yeah. There's a trick dog. Well, it goes back and forth between this and how did we get there? And we find out that she had previously been on a balloon trip with her husband, and that her husband had died during the course of these events. And even though she was a very serious scientist and adventurer, she was obviously more than just a little bit traumatized by this event. And over the length of the film, we see the details of what actually had happened there, as we see the details of the past and how she ends up meeting Eddie Redmayne, who is a very like young member of the Academy of Sciences, who's like, no, I think this is important. Everyone's like, get out of here, you crazy loon. Well,
what is going up in the air going to prove?
He really like,
you
wants
think you could stop the weather?
Well, no, he wants to predict the weather. Because they think that no one can forecast when it's going to rain. Come on, if it rains, it rains. But he's like, no, it can be proven. If you just let me get the fuck up there, I can show you.
And after all these years, they're still not great at it.
And really, I mean, he yeah, right? No kidding.
They're getting there.
Meteorology has a long way to go yet. But again, he's an early meteorologist, and he will not, he can't get funding for this. And the only way he can get it done is he has an investor who agrees to sponsor the event, but he has to bring in this world famous balloonist played by Felicity Jones, and of course there has to be all of this ballyhoo about it, whereas he's very embarrassed by all this showmanship. He just wants to be a scientist
because he's also got a lot to, you know, it's his failure will be even more visible,
right?
You know, if it doesn't pull it off.
So. To him, this is a serious venture. It's not a carnival, but that's the situation he's in. And guess what? They're two total opposites, and they're going to clash all the way up in that balloon.
Right. And if you're afraid this is just going to be kind of a dry drawing room thing, it's not because they made the smart a decision to make this nonlinear, because the actual balloon adventure is fucking thrilling.
It is. Yes. I mean,
and they keep coming back to it.
It's almost in real time. Yeah. It's almost in real time,
but you don't think, like, you think, like, gosh, you're stuck in a balloon? That doesn't, I mean, how many shots can you do with that? This is visually one of the most entertaining films I've seen this year. Just like the effects in this, which you wouldn't think would be that impressive compared to, you know, something like Avengers Endgame, but oh my god, this is such a stunning film. This was a roller coaster ride, really.
All the stuff with them in the balloon is just like edge of your seat a lot of the time. You're like, oh my god, what is going to happen? And genuinely, you're frightened for these people. Uh-huh. Because
more so for her.
Because first off, I don't know the actual details of like what happened in real life with the guy who went up and broke the record, and also am very aware of the fact that this is not exactly the history of what happened, so it kind of feels like anything could happen. They may not necessarily both make it out of this alive.
Remember that moment in Temple of Doom when Indiana Jones and Willie and Short Round get an inflatable raft that they jump out of an airplane with, and then they inflate it and then slide down a Himalayan mountain? That's about as implausible as this movie is at points. There are moments late towards the end where, like, this is thrilling, this is exciting. Boy, this is bullshit.
That's the way
they would so be dead by now.
And so funny about Temple of Doom, that's the way I feel about the bridge scene.
Yeah. But again, there's a lot of moments here that you're asked to suspend your disbelief, because this is, as Chris pointed out, they could have gone historically with this. This could have still been a very entertaining document about two explorers who went up in a balloon and had some challenges along the way. But those would have been just two gruff guys just doing their job.
Well,
here
we've got this sort of
his and her kind of comedy romantic.
Well, I think we're sort of shortchanging it a bit, because I think we're selling this more as fiction than fact, when I think it's really a mixture of both.
It is.
This might surprise you, Frank, but a lot of people in the Victorian era were extremely Victorian in their views. no woman would have ever been allowed on this basket.
Also, like, his best friend is played by an Indian guy, which obviously would not have been
in the Royal Society.
Whatever. Who cares? This is a film that's taking something that's interesting event that happened and making it more interesting. It's certainly not a moment that we go back to over and over again when talking about history is like one of these big important moments. It was, but its story is not as interesting as this movie's version of it is. And as it is, you make a film that's absolutely perfect to, once again, take your, especially your young daughters to, with like a Felicity Jones playing a girl who is not a, she's not demure, but she's feminine. She is very strong, but she's also not a terrible person or an asshole at all. She is like this great mixture of like the feminine and the adventurer of like
is the action hero.
She is the real hero. Eddie Redmayne is definitely more of the anima.
Nobody like her because existed, right?
She is the Bogart to his Katharine Hepburn. Because, you know, she just he just wants to go higher and higher and higher, and he keeps pushing her like, no, we've broken this record. We are now further than anyone has ever been. But if we go any further,
I can learn more.
We can learn more, you know, and they do actually learn some interesting things along the way. And they show that on screen.
But she's more grounded than I think he is, definitely.
But she's no pun intended by any means. Things go to hell.
Well, I mean, like, despite the fact that she's obviously the one playing it up for the show business of it early on, it's surprising to find out she is actually more grounded and has her head less in the clouds, if you will.
Well, because she also knows what the cost of that type of exploration is, the ultimate cost of that.
And that and the movie paces that well with revealing exactly
what led them to that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that dramatic motion ends up paying off very well in this film to make it not dull at all. Even the scenes where we're leading up to it, there's only as much as you need with the backstory coming up to it. I mean, the movie does spend a lot of time in the actual balloon, per se, as it should, because that's the best part of the film.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, everything on the whole is pretty well balanced. And you're right, there's really strong chemistry between Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne, but it's not a romantic chemistry. It feels like one of those
At the same time, I would still call this a love story.
Yeah.
You know, in a very unconventional sense, because they do develop this bond and this, you know, closeness through this experience. And they both have the commonality, they both have something to prove. You know, him to his investors and to all the naysayers.
And to
her, to her, to herself. To the fact that she can go back up to the place where that was the darkest time of her life, presumably, and, you know, face it and come back.
And Tom Courtenay plays Eddie Redmayne's father, who was going through some sort of dementia, end of life thing, but he's still on the side of basically being lucid most of the time, who is... There's obviously some degree of really wanting to impress his father there as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that the father is the one who inspired in him the love of astronomy and of science. And, you know, he there's this little touching moment where he gives him these binoculars. And by the way, every time he was looking with those binoculars, I kept waiting for them to fall. This is one of my big fears anytime I'm on a height. On a great height is that my glasses or whatever's in my hand are going to fall off. And I'm like, fuck, what can I do about it? Nothing. I can't do anything because I'm, what, 50,000 feet up in the air?
My fear is always about impulse. You get that point where you're kind of looking at impulse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where you look over the edge and you go, that thought, like, it's, what if something in me that I just, like, didn't even realize was there decided to pull this moment to say, jump!
Yeah, the French have the French have a word for it, but I'm blanking on it. But it basically translates into, like, you know, the temptation of the void.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, and I have felt that many times myself, except oddly enough, it's with my cell phone. I'm not kidding. Every time we're at the balcony overlooking the street at the Violet Crown Theater, there are many a night I've just thought, I should just throw my phone over. Why? I paid good money for this.
I don't know if that's the same urge, though, because like you don't want to kill yourself, but so it's a weird urge. You're like, I don't want to kill myself.
No,
but there's that weird thing of being afraid that what if something inside you decided, do it. But with a phone, you're like, man, I fucking hate this thing more than I don't.
I don't hate it at all. That's the weird thing. It's like, I just want to throw something of value overboard and destroy it. But not me, because I'm not insane.
Have you guys seen that tweet that went around today about those three girls in the art museum, and they're on their phone, they're on a bench in the middle of the room with all these pieces of art around them, and like, and Bette Midler tweeted out, oh my gosh, can you believe these girls are looking on their phones? And everybody came to the girls' defense saying, well, they're just minding their own business. And somebody said, well, I tweet I'm on my phone when I'm at an art museum and blah, 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 blah.
Well, also, some of those videos, there have been photos like that, and people have responded, like, actually, what the students are doing is they're there's like an app where they can listen to like a audio presentation. Yeah.
So Bette Midler, shut the hell up. So.
Well, I'm actually on Bette Midler's side because my ass isn't looking at anything but art.
Generally speaking, yes.
I can do that at home.
In response to that, I saw a tweet today that was of two cats that had learned to ring little bells every time they wanted another treat, and they both had pumpkin hats.
Oh, I want to see that.
And it was adorable.
I've told you, your cats are worthless, man. Why are you not internet famous? You have three cats. They don't do any tricks,
but
Chris.
They are getting the best film education that any cat.
What were we talking about? What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's not.
You're talking about you throwing your phone off the balcony.
If this had come out in the late 70s, it would have been called The Arrow Nuts and starred Tim Conway.
And Don Knotts.
Don Knotts.
It's a Disney film. That's right.
What?
You go like, there? We gotta throw everything overboard.
Harvey Korman would be the like rival balloonist.
As long as Cobra Neck can be the benefactor, I'm happier.
Or no, they would be the evil meteorologist like a Twister. They're doing it for the money. What are you talking about?
And Bancroft.
No, actually,
I
want a version of this with Cobra Net and Alan Alda in that balloon. Just going
see,
up and
I was going to do an Aristocrats joke, but I'd already done that on our Atlantics review.
Fair. So you got to pull back from the Aristocrats joke.
The Aeronauts!
It's hard not to. The Aristocrats joke is coming back because everyone, every time you look at a current anything Trump says, you just feel like this has got to end with the aristocrats. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think we are all on the same page that while this is not like essential viewing or anything, it is a fun ride. It's a great family film to bring
people
to
really
the theater.
Is.
It's genuinely thrilling and scary, but not in a way that's going to damage your youngins, I don't think.
No.
And it's inspiring for little kids as well.
It really is.
With a very strong female protagonist. It is very pro-science, very straight up, like this is how science is so important.
Right.
It's worth the risk to learn real facts and real science. But it does it all in a very playful way, and certainly in a way that's going to annoy some people. Like, there's a scene I found quite beautiful, but I know people who are going to grind their teeth at it, where they're at this height, and suddenly all these, like, butterflies, like, are flying in among them.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I thought it was gorgeous. And,
yeah.
And he acknowledges, he goes, oh my God, you know, there's this world-famous scientist who's theorized that, you know, insects have some current that they can fly around when they're migrating, and now he's like, and you see that sense of he's just proven something.
Yeah.
It wasn't his own theory, because you rarely get to prove your own theory. So much of science is like, hey, somebody had a good idea. I'm going to go and just work at it and see if I can prove it or not. And you see that happening. He's not claiming the idea. He's just the guy who confirmed it. You know, you have to remember, 90% of this movie is two people in a basket.
Yeah.
And like Frank was saying earlier, this shouldn't work. I mean, this shouldn't be exciting. And yet the VFX have reached a level now where I know I'm just watching these two Oscar winners that are just sitting in a green screen stage.
She hasn't won yet. She hasn't won yet.
Well, she hasn't won yet.
No.
Well, that'll happen.
Did Redmayne win?
He won. He did.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, you never ever once go, oh, this is, no, I'm not buying this. I mean, when they climb up on the ladders or the rope ladders to get to the balloons or lean over the basket.
When she climbs on the balloon.
I mean, you're, which apparently some of that is true, but again, it's just, I think there were like two or three voyages that they combined into like one.
Well, there was actually three people in that, in the balloon.
Yeah, no,
that was the main difference between this story
and one of them was not a female.
Yeah.
Huh?
And one of them was not a female.
Is she, can we confirm that? Is she a real person or not?
No, she is not.
She is just loosely based.
Yeah, she is a combination of two or three different female balloonists from this period. So,
okay.
So it wasn't unheard of, but again, it's this idea that
they don't want to shortchange that women were exploring in those days.
I mean, they just wanted to make an adventure film that's kind of based on real stuff. I mean, there's nothing that's like outrageously untrue, but you know, I mean, it is what it is, and what it is pretty damn entertaining. But let's go to final thoughts. Frank, what are your final thoughts?
Oh my gosh,
Frankie,
like, this is such a beautiful film. Like, visually, this is so beautiful, and yeah, it shouldn't work. It should be boring as fuck, and it's not. And I went into it, long day. I looked at Marco. I was like, I don't really want to be here. we got the auction to go to. 1917 is playing somewhere else, and we're not there.
Sorry
but,
about that.
Yeah, it's fine. but I mean, I was just so enchanted by this film. I was so swept away by it. I love that these two people who have no real reason to be connected are connected. I love the bond that's formed between the two of them. I love that they both ground each other and they both inspire each other. And I love that they're both chasing after something, and I feel they both find it in the end. This is such a beautiful film from a production standpoint. The effects are so mesmerizing. This is, I've been saying this on a lot of different reviews for a lot of different films, but this has made my long list for effects and for the cinematography. Mm. It's just stunning. And I love that moment with the butterflies you're talking about. It's just a real... because he is, especially for him, he is so science-driven, and he is all about, you know... facts and data.
She keeps
and
going
theories.
Like, will you just look and see how pretty yeah. all this shit
and when,
is?
And when he just realizes, you know, what, you know, the effects of actual life and the wonder of, you know, nature, it's beautiful. Yeah, I don't have any complaints about it, except if I wish it had come out in April. This is a really great springtime film. This is a really great late summer film when audiences want something to sink their teeth into, and it's just another
it's
one.
It's just
of those...
not in competition with the Oscars.
No, and it's yeah. not. And so many studios and filmmakers, you know, it's that time of the year when everyone, when audiences' IQs go up 20%, and you know, it's like,
and, do they really?
Oh yeah, because they feel smart because they saw some sort of art film and that came to their right. podunk town in late January.
This is for
yeah,
adults.
Of course.
I watched. Yeah,
I saw something with
adults.
Cate Blanchett that didn't involve yeah, Thor. Well,
exactly.
Good for you.
But yeah, this would have soared. Haha. Otherwise, had it been a different time. As it stands now, I hope the people that will get something out of this actually discover it. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 dead pigeons being thrown out of a fucking wooden box. I told Marco, I was like, don't steal that.
I'm using that. He's like, that's mine.
That's
I'm
mine.
Like, yeah, fair enough. Claimed. I was like, God damn it, Frank. Because that was going to be mine.
Yeah. It's a perfect one. It's like, yeah. Anyway.
It's the obvious one. So anyway, to reiterate some of what Frank said, neither of us were in the mood to watch this. We just thought, oh God, this is going to be so dopey, and I'm going to just sit in there watching two people in a balloon bickering, and I'm going to just feel like I'm going to be staring the whole time looking for like matte edges around them, you know, to see where the green screen is. But it's pretty damn flawless in terms of execution on the visual effects level. And if you are afraid of vertiginous heights or just, you know, find that stuff kind of thrilling, then this is really is going to be a good movie for you, because this does that so well. There's that whole thing of like where the camera will like follow a person's gaze and just kind of lean over the edge and point straight down, or they'll pull back and they'll have like a little chart superimposed over the screen where you'll see an hour timeline and an altitude timeline, so you kind of get a sense of, oh, this is how far, and nobody had ever done this before. Granted, this is fictional, but at some point, somebody actually got higher off the ground than anybody had ever been.
I mean, the guy who Eddie Redmayne is playing, James Glazier, who did break this, is the guy who broke this record, really put his life in danger seriously doing this.
Yeah.
Like, he was in, like, an iffy condition at the end of this thing.
Very Christopher Columbus of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only he didn't, like, you know, kill any native people or enslave them.
just some birds.
Yeah. He was British, okay? So if he had found some native people living in the clouds, he would have colonized them.
Yeah, he would have given them smallpox. And
he found us up here.
I bought the heavens for a handful of beads.
Oh, that's why there's only one airbender.
The last one. But yeah, there's great chemistry between these two actors. They've worked together before, obviously, and they just kind of fit together perfectly on this. They're a lot of fun, and that is key, because again, two people in a basket bickering, you have to believe those people.
Would have been a better title for the film.
People bickering in a
basket.
Two people
bickering in a basket.
That's one of my favorite games.
Bickering in a
basket. Just to take a really banal way to describe a movie. And I would have called this Two People Bickering in a Basket. But yeah, this is fine for a family entertainment. I wish it had come out earlier in the year. Like Frank says, it's going to get lost in the shuffle during Oscar season. There's no reason for it to be out here. I guess, you know, it's going to be on Amazon pretty soon. So chances are, if you're at the theater and, you know, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and the new Tom Hanks, Mr. Rogers movies are all sold out, then you can take your family to see this one. This is a pretty safe one, but let's be honest, you're going to take them to see Frozen 2. So anyway, I'm going to give this... 7 out of 10 bags of sand.
Man, I don't know why this wasn't the Downton Abbey movie, quite frankly. I mean, it was just like, come on, guys, you're making a movie. It's like, well, it's basically another episode of Downton Abbey. I was like, you know what? What if you took those characters and put them in a basket and sent them up to 35,000 feet? I'm just saying that's where you go when you want to build up to the movie point.
Yeah, you just keep, and yeah. Every once in a while, you just cut away to Professor McGonagall just making some really quip.
Well, they're still up there, I suppose. It's like,
yeah. 10 points from Gryffindor! Did you catch the snitch yet? This is perfectly charming. It's light, fluffy entertainment that is going to make the whole family generally pretty happy. There's not a lot to complain about here other than the timing of its release. It's certainly not like a film that I'm going to come back and revisit again and again, but I had a really nice time watching it. I think that it's well done on its technical merits are extremely strong. The chemistry between the two leads, which is really the only thing that's super important here, is in terms of acting, is dead on and perfectly balanced. I mean, it's going to be one of those films a lot of people are going to talk about snidely, I suspect, because of the fact of its release time and that it's so slight. But come on, man. Sometimes you can just lean into something.
The irony of it is that this is such an audience-friendly film. This is such an audience, like, it's widespread. It's so universal.
It's a crowd pleaser. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's just kind of charming, and it's a shame that, on some level, that I guess that it couldn't have been more than that, but... Hey man, they gave us a movie for what it is. It's exactly what it should be and what it needed to be. And I had a good time with it. I'm gonna give this 8 out of 10 cases of frostbite. You know. Oh, sorry. Did I say totally family friendly?
That looked painful.
Nobody lost any fingers. Come on,
in an Amazon movie. Come on.
But I have to end because I can't. I just can't not. Julie Christie, the rumors are true.
Oh, jeez.